CS Raid. And to speak on behalf of the organisation is Susie Hill.
Good morning, Colin.
Well, I don't know if you've ever thought of working for a tabloid newspaper, but your wording in the introduction to your media release is classic tabloid. I'll just read it out. Residents of Glen Eira are up in arms over a cluster of proposed developments they say will turn their quiet suburb into a high-rise horror. That's pretty good journalism.
Absolutely. The work of my next-door neighbour, who's also our treasurer, Mary, she put that through together, but it went under my name because I'm the president. But no, I think she did a good job.
What's going on in Caulfield South?
In Caulfield South, some of your listeners may be aware of the Hawthorne Road, Glen Huntly Road intersection, and I live not far from there. So within 100 metres or so of that intersection are five major developments at the moment, all of which are going to VCAT. And they're 9 stories, 7 stories, 8 stories. A couple of them have planned for supermarkets on the ground floor. And it completely will change the way our neighbourhood operates.
Caulfield South, of course, features mostly single-storey period homes and that beautiful, quiet shopping strip that you mentioned. But this sort of increasing development is going to change the very character of your suburb.
Oh, absolutely. And part of the issue is, you know, you've got council saying, well, the state government's making us do that and so on. There is no structure plan in place for Caulfield South. Council have been promising it, but we're further down the list in some areas, and latest is it will be next year. There is also a city plan, and it's talking about 5 stories. So there's Glen Eira City Plan, which talks about maximum height of 5 stories in these mixed zones, commercial zones. However, that is not recognised by the state government or VCAT, because it's not part of the structure plan. So we've got VCAT hearings coming up for these 5 properties between September and December. Now, sometimes it takes a couple of months for them to work out their decision. But those decisions are going to be made before the structure plan's in place. So, you know, we're shot in the foot. Hundreds of extra apartments. There's a school nearby. The traffic's going to be horrendous. There's deliveries for supermarkets. So the one near my place, which is 371 Hawthorne Road, there's to be a 24/7 supermarket with a bottle shop. Well, council can knock back the bottle shop, but they're going to apply for that.
Yeah.
So the delivery area is adjacent to the home of an elderly lady who has lived there for something like 60 years. It's just horrendous. So traffic's bad as it is. I've written to the Department of Transport and said, look, do you take these developments in isolation or do you look at them together? Because you need to be looking at them together. It's not just about one single case, because it's a crazy amount of departments, like 90 apartments in one of them, 70 in another.
What do you do about it? I mean, you go to VCAT, but as you say, if there's no structure plan for the area of Caulfield South, VCAT really has to rule just on the merits of what the developers and what you guys argue. There's no sort of underpinning plan that they can reference.
Yes, exactly. And that's what's causing us the biggest amount of grief. Like, I was talking to one developer and he said, well, you know, it's a bit of a green light for developers because there are no mandatory heights. Now, we've been told the Minister for Planning, Mr. Wynne, or his bureaucrats, are not keen on mandatory heights. But if you put in discretionary heights of 5 stories, they could put 7, 8 or 9. Now, other areas of Glen Eira are worse off, like down in the area near the Elstonwick Station. There's a 10-storey and a 12-storey. There's another one that's been voted on Tuesday, and it's got a theatre complex in it, which is fabulous. So it's 300-seater, I think, but no parking. It's just absolute craziness. Also, this time with the 5 that are going to VCAT, council is sending their planning people for 4 of the cases. The 5th one, which is the one I'm most interested in, which is the second bite at the cherry, they are going to maintain the legal counsel they had before. But we're looking at hopefully providing legal counsel again, and it's going to cost us around $20,000. It's a lot of money.
It's money that residents don't have, particularly in these difficult times.
We've just said to people, look, if you can, let us know what you'd like to pledge, and if we get enough money, then that's wonderful. We had a great barrister last time, we'd use her again. If not, the person who was the lead on our joint statement of grounds is prepared to do it. But he said he'd be far more comfortable if we had legal reps. So it's a bit difficult, and it's a bit like the blame game. Council blames the state government blames the council, and the poor residents are left in the middle. It's absolutely hopeless. And I I guess, you know, when I bought this place 40 years ago, I don't look at the adjacent zoning like I was in my 20s. You don't, you know, you don't think about those things. You think close to public transport, that's great. And they're the things that council are looking at, and they're saying state government's pushing that it's need good public transport. Now, at the moment, it's different because most of us are staying at home. But in more normal times, I would say trams and trains are at pretty peak capacity during peak hour. With the trains, you'd need more often, or longer trains, which would mean extended platforms. So all of those sort of things aren't going to happen overnight.
No.
And we're not all going to be in 20-minute neighbourhoods. Like, that might be what the government's trying to push, but it would seem that Glen Eira's well ahead of what is required, and we just don't know why council aren't pushing back more. It's very frustrating.
The developers seem to have the green light.
Well, and look, I'm not opposed to people making money in business. That's what you go into business for, but I guess there's a bit of a difference between making money and going hell for leather. You know, I've said to the councillors, you know, I will be 10 metres away from the edge of this new development. Mm. Would you want to be that close? I've got solar panels, which really I put in for environmental purposes more than saving money. Yeah, I do save some, but that wasn't why I actually put them in. And because of the current laws around that, I forget the exact times and which equinox it is, but if it's between, you know, you've got sunlight between sort of 9 and 3, that's okay. So what's been cropped off with shadowing, I'll have it from 9 till 2. So the developers say, oh, you're only losing an hour. But, you know, if you look at the entire spread of when actual sunlight hits my solar panels, it's much more than that period of time. So
yeah,
that to me is a ridiculous aspect.
Not to mention the prying eyes that'll be overlooking your place.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I did wonder whether I just run around in the nud in the backyard. It's not going to worry me. It might worry them, and they'll put curtains up. But it's all of those things. And then I suppose we all have different ideas of what is aesthetically good. I'm not keen on matchboxes, and basically this is what these things are. They're a bit like the wedding cake with step backs and stuff. So they're not adding anything to the character of the neighbourhood. And the developers will tell you, oh, we're doing all these wonderful things, and we're providing, you know, this, yeah, and the other. And it's, and the lack of green space, I believe we have the least green space of the municipalities around Melbourne.
Yes.
And this is getting worse because, you know, their outdoor green spaces like the rooftop. Well, if I had kids, I wouldn't want them playing on the rooftop of a 9-storey building. You know, like, it just doesn't sit straight with me.
Have houses been demolished to make these sites available, or what's been there in the past, Susie?
So at the moment, there's one at 679 Glen Huntley Road. At the moment, there are, I think, 3 or 4 little houses, and 3 of them are part of the development. Either side of them, there are taller buildings, but they're like 3 and 4 stories and quite tastefully done.
Yes.
371, which is near me, originally way, way back was a bakery, but it was like a little warehouse, you know, maybe 2 stories high.
I know the type.
And a garage was that one. Opposite that is what is the Southern Indoor Bowl Club, which is currently 5 stories. So it started its life as a picture theatre. A bit further down is a single level vacuum cleaner shop. Just further south of them, there's 3 or 4 just ordinary house blocks, and that's another one where they want 7 stories. So the street behind them, it's just like absolutely ludicrous. So yeah, there will be demolitions.
Sounds like it'll turn into party town, and at the moment, as you say, it's just a nice quiet neighbourhood.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, you know, I mean, there's a mixture of homes, and as I said, I've lived in this street for 40 years, and certainly there have been a number of timber cottages that have been demolished and rebuilt. But in my street, nothing over 2 stories has been built. One of our guys did a walk around quite a reasonable radius of the area. Huge proportion is single story, quite a number of 2 stories, and then there's literally a handful of 3, and then not far from me there's 2 quite narrow fronted blocks with a 4 and 5 story apartment, but they're quite narrow. And I think part of the one at 371 Hawthorne Road is it's such a wide expanse, you know, it runs from Larch Street through to Olive Street. So it's much more imposing in terms of bulk, and the traffic's going to be, you know, it's going to be a nightmare. And I am very concerned for the primary school that's just up the road. Interestingly enough, the school's actually not allowed to complain. But
the, you know, individual parents might be able to. Yeah.
Yes, certainly they can, and we've kept the principal up to date with what's going on. So, because you don't always notice, and I guess I haven't noticed much in the past until the demolition happened at the end of my street, and I thought, hello, what's going on? Did a letterbox drop, and from that we've developed into a group, and we've now got about 107 on our email list, I think. So, you know, we're doing what we can. Will we get anywhere? Hard to know, but at least we've given it our best shot.
If people wanted to either contact CS RAID, that's Caulfield South Residents Against Inappropriate Development, or even contribute to your legal fighting fund, how would they get in touch?
We do have an email address, and it's csraid, C-S-R-A-I-D, at mail, mail.com. Even if you just want to be kept up to date, like, I don't send lots of stuff out, but, you know, we've given help with sample letters to send to council and all those sorts of things. And, of course, at any time, if you want to be taken off the list, we can do that. We know it's difficult times for people at the moment, and what I've said to people is, if you are able, be as financially generous as you can. Last time we did this, we had donations from $50 up to $4,000. Everybody's in a different financial situation, and at the moment we're just saying, just let us know if you would like to, how much you're happy to pledge. We won't ask for the money yet until we know we've got enough.
Yes.
If we do, then we'll give you the bank account details and you can put it in. But very happy to keep people up to date, and I think we've just got to keep pushing. Elections are just around the corner, and I know at one meeting I said to the CEO, I reckon some councillors are going to lose their position. They just looked at me and I was like, people are really angry. Don't you get it? They just don't seem to understand.
Thanks, Susie.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate your time.